our story takes us to the period at the period of the Second Temple, the period of Yanai HaMelech. Yanai's wife was Shalmoni Namalka, also known as Shlomtzion Namalka, and she was the sister of the great leader of the Jewish people, Shimon ben Shetach. And Yanai at one point murdered many, many rabbis. He got very upset at the rabbis and he went on a killing spree. Yanai had an interesting relationship in that way with the sages. It was because of him that the sages instituted that we don't judge in our courts, we don't judge a king unless he's from the Davidic dynasty, because of problems they had with Yanai. They said, okay, we can't take control of the king. It's too dangerous for our courts to start with the Jewish king if he's not from the Davidic dynasty. We have many stories. We learned in the Yaakov's story about Shimon ben Shetach and Yanai HaMelech. And we have another story about 300 Nazirim. We have in the Torah the concept of taking a vow, a neder, whereby a person can say, just as the classical neder is, a person says, I take upon myself to bring the following sacrifice. I take upon myself to bring a shlomim sacrifice. A person can make a nedava. He could say, this animal should be a shlomim sacrifice. And then the Torah expands it and says, one can make an eder and say, that ceramic cup should be prohibited upon me like a sacrifice. So he takes the capacity to impart holiness with his speech and he uses it for mundane objects and makes them prohibited upon himself as if they were holy. That's the extension of a neder. And then the Torah gives us a specific type of neder called a nazir, a nizirut, where a person can take a vow and say, I am hereby a nazir. I am a person who is separated from, and then the Torah tells us, he must separate himself from anything that comes from the grape or the wine, and he may not shave his hair. Now, in all nedarim, we have a halacha, that we have a tradition going back to Moshe, that this is a Torah concept, that if one takes a vow and then one goes and asks a rabbi about the vow, sometimes the rabbi can undo the vow from within. The rabbi can say, well, based on my understanding of the conditions you meant when you took the vow, some of those conditions were not met, and so you're not obligated by this vow. That's what's called to be matir neder, to undo, like undoing a knot, to undo a vow. Now, sometimes the rabbi will question and question and question, and after hearing all the details, he'll say, there's no way out. You got to keep your vow. You took a vow. There's no guarantee that the rabbi will be able to be matil the nedel, to undo the vow. But sometimes the rabbi can, and so if a person has a vow that he has a problem keeping, he should go to the rabbi and consult how, if it's possible to undo the vow, and if so, then how. Lechatchila, we say a person is not supposed to take a vow. It's not considered a pious thing. It's a sin. We have capacity to do it, and there are times when it's necessary to do it, but on a day-to-day basis, it is improper for a person to take a vow. Now, the Talmud tells us that at one point, 300 Nazirim came up to Jerusalem. And these people were responsible not to drink wine or anything that came of the grape, and they were growing their hair long, and it was time for their Nazirus, their vow was up, and at the conclusion of the Nazirus, one has to bring three sacrifices. The only problem was that these Nazirim were impoverished. And you had 300 Nazirim come up to Jerusalem who could not afford their sacrifices. So they came to the chief rabbi, they came to Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach, and they told them their problem. So Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach interviewed one at a time, and for half of them, for 150 of them, he was able to find room to undo the vow. To say, when you took the vow, it was with understanding A, B, C, or D, according to the facts you give me, and those facts were inaccurate. You thought A or B or C, whatever those details were, and as such, that vow is annulled. But there were 150 Nazirim for whom he could not find an opening. He could not annul their vow. And Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach himself was not wealthy, He used to sell flax to make a living. And initially when he started making a living, he didn't have a donkey to carry his flax. So he didn't have the money to give them so they could buy the sacrifices. So he went to the king Yanai and he said to him, look, 300 Nazirim came up to Jerusalem and they're stuck. They need to bring sacrifices and they can't afford. They can't afford it. So I'll tell you what, you cover half of them and I'll cover half of them. So Yanai figures, if my brother-in-law, Shimon ben Shetach, he's a poor man, if he's going to help half these Nazirim, so it's not nice that I, the wealthy king, I won't cover half. So he agreed. He gave him the money for the sacrifices for 150. And they went, they brought their sacrifices, and everything was fine. But there were some wicked people in town. There are always these so-called tzaddikim who find their way to stir up trouble. And they came to the king and they said, you know, it was supposed to be a 50-50 deal. Shimon ben Shetach didn't lay out a penny. You covered everything. Now, when Yanai heard that, he was obviously very angry. And we have to understand, when Yanai gets angry, this is a man who killed thousands of rabbis. So Shimon ben Shetach is in danger. And he declared, Shimon ben Shetach tricked me. Shimon ben Shetach lied to me. He deserves a hefty punishment. Now, Shimon ben Shetach got word that the king's upset at him. So what did he do? He did what an intelligent Jew is supposed to do. He ran. He packed his bags and ran. He knew that his life was in danger. And the only one who knew where he was hiding was his sister, Shlomtzion the queen. And after a period, Yanai had important visitors from the Persian Empire, and he invited them to a great feast, and after they ate and drank, they started looking around. It looked like they were searching for something in the temple, in the palace. So they said to the king, we remember previous times we visited you. You used to have a wise man, an old wise man here, who we could talk to, and we marveled at his wisdom. Why isn't he here today? And the king knew very well who they were talking about. That was his brother-in-law, Shimon ben Shetach. So he told them over the story. He said, that brother-in-law of mine. So the visitor said, you know what? For 150 Nazirim. Okay, forgive him. We want to see him. Such a wise man. We don't want to leave Israel without getting some of his wisdom. Now, with such dignitaries, Yanai couldn't refuse. So he said, okay, I'll forgive him. How does he find Shimon ben Shetach? So he whispered to the queen. He said, you're his sister. You probably know where he's hiding. Send someone to call. So the queen, she was no dummy. She said, first promise me you won't harm him. And send him your ring as a sign that you won't harm him. And then I'll send for him. So the king did what she asked. And Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach came. And obviously he was granted great honor. He was brought before the king and the queen. And Yanai was very upset. So in front of all the guests, he says to him, hey, why'd you run away? So Rabbi Shimon said, because I heard the master, the king, was upset at me and I was scared. So I went to hide till you'd forgive me. That's what the prophet says. Chavichi madrega diavolzam. The prophet tells the Jewish people, when there's a moment of anger, go hide till the anger passes. So the king says, oh yeah, you were right. You had good reason to worry about my anger. Why'd you make fun of me? Why'd you lie to me? Why'd you tell me you're covering half the Nazirim and you didn't give anything? Shimon ben Shetach says, God forbid. I didn't make any jokes. I didn't say any lies. You covered 150 from your wealth. You gave them money from your treasury. And I gave the 150 from my wealth, from my Torah. I worked very hard interviewing those 150 and finding a way out halachically for them. And they didn't have to bring their sacrifice. That was my half. I covered my 50%. So the king says, then why didn't you just tell me that there are only 150 that have to bring a sacrifice? So Shimon ben Shetach said, because if I would have told you, you wouldn't have agreed to cover the 150. And the king thought, and he realized Shimon ben Shetach was right. If he had known that Shimon ben Shetach would cover for his 150 with his wisdom, he wouldn't have given a penny. But he wasn't completely calm. He said, okay, why'd you come up here and sit at the dais with me and the queen? So Shimon ben Shetach answered him, I wanted you to see the honor of the Torah. It's not my honor that's here, it's the Torah that's being honored here. And Yanai had to concede, hey, why'd he call Shimon ben Shetach in the first place? Because he needed his wisdom. Even the Persians appreciated his wisdom. And here his own brother-in-law, a Jew, doesn't have the proper appreciation for the wisdom of this wise man. And at that moment he realized that he better be quiet. And he honored Shimon ben Shetach with leading benching for him and everyone who was there at the meal. Wow.